Love and Like Evangelism, Chapter 17, Variables That Affect Healing. Key Verse: That thy way may be known upon earth, thy saving health among all nations. Psalms 67, verse 2. Introduction. Why don't more people get healed? Why are some healed while others are not? Why are very shallow and worldly Christians sometimes healed while more sincere and dedicated people have not yet received healing? These are some of the questions you face when you begin to minister healing and deliverance. This lesson concerns variables that affect healing. A variable is a factor that causes variations or different results. God promised healing in His Word. We must remember, however, that every promise of God is conditional on the response of man. This is why it is important to understand the variables that affect healing. Understanding and responding to variables. Variables in the ministry of healing are reasons why some people get healed and others do not. Before you begin this study, it is important to remember that you will never have the answers to every question you encounter in healing and deliverance. It is human nature to want to understand everything. The first temptation centered on this very issue. This desire to know all things stems from rebellion at having unanswered questions. This problem of human nature is one you must conquer in order to minister healing and deliverance effectively. The Bible does reveal some variables that affect healing and deliverance, but you will never have answers to every question. If you did, you would have no need of God or faith. The Bible is clear that some things are revealed to us while others are not. The secret things belong unto the Lord our God, but those things which are revealed belong unto us and to our children forever, that we may do all the words of this law. Deuteronomy chapter 29, verse 29. In healing and deliverance, you must learn to put aside unanswered questions and leave the secret things with the Lord. Healing and deliverance are part of the gospel, just like salvation. When you minister healing and deliverance and some do not receive, you will be tempted to give up. But consider this question: do you stop preaching salvation just because everyone who hears the message does not get saved? Why, then, are we so quick to stop ministering healing and deliverance because not everyone receives? Most likely because in healing and deliverance, pride enters in. We tend to be embarrassed when we pray for a visibly sick person and they do not get healed. Others can see this because it is external. If someone responds for salvation but does not really get saved, people cannot see it because it is internal. Our pride is affected by what people can see externally. You will never have answers for all the variables that affect healing any more than you will have for the factors that affect responses to salvation. Some get saved, some do not. Some get healed, some do not. The Bible does reveal some variables that affect healing and deliverance, however. It is important for you to understand these so you can help others work through them to receive healing. Here are some of these variables. Lack of teaching. Lack of knowledge about healing, its principles, source, how to exercise faith and receive it can affect healing. God said, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge." Hosea chapter 4, verse 6. Jesus said that we fall into error when we do not understand God's word and His power. Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. Matthew chapter 22, verse 29. Some people do not receive healing because they do not understand God's word and His power. Faith for healing comes by hearing the word of God concerning healing. Romans chapter 10, verse 17. The Bible calls the word of God the seed. Some people try to reap a harvest of healing without the word of healing being planted in their hearts. The seed cannot work unless it is in us. before saying, I am the Lord that healeth thee, God first said, if thou wilt diligently hearken unto my word. The word preceded healing. How many people would get saved if they never heard a message on salvation? Or how many would get saved if the main points of a salvation message were, it may not be God's will to save you. Your sin is for God's glory. The day of salvation is past. Yet we hear these statements about healing, which is also part of the atonement of Christ. It may not be God's will to heal you. Your sickness is for God's glory. The day of healing is past. People must be taught the word of God regarding healing just as they are taught salvation. It is the seed of the word that brings forth the harvest of healing. Traditions of men. Traditions are beliefs, rules, and principles of man. Our traditions and beliefs hinder the work of God's word. Thus have ye made the commandment of God of none effect by your tradition. Matthew chapter 15, verse 60. If faith comes by hearing God's word, then it can leave by hearing and accepting traditions and doctrines of man that destroy faith. Here are some common traditions of man that affect healing. Tradition says, healing and miracles are not for today. Some people claim healing was only for Bible times or for the future when Jesus returns. Our response, God says, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. Exodus chapter 15, verse 26. I am is present tense. How can we change it to I was in the past or I will be in the future? The Bible teaches that God does not change. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. James chapter 1, verse 17. For I am the Lord, I change not. Malachi chapter 3, verse 6. God has not changed since the beginning of time. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. If the day of miracles is past, then so is the day of salvation, for there is no greater miracle than salvation. Some say healing is for the future when Jesus returns to earth. If this is true, then the ministry of teachers, pastors, and other leaders must be for that future time, because the gift of healing is a spiritual gift, just as these other gifts. The most convincing argument against claims that miracles are not for today is the documented record of experience. Jesus performed miracles and healings. Then Jesus answering said unto them, go your way, and tell John what things ye have seen and heard, how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached. Luke chapter 7, verse 22. See also Acts chapter 4, verses 14 through 16. The book of Acts records miracles and healing in the early church. The documented record of modern church history also confirms many healings and miracles. Some people ask, if healing is for today, why don't believers go around raising all those who have taken sick and died? Raising the dead was not part of the Great Commission given to the church. It was commanded to the disciples when they were first sent on a preaching tour to announce the kingdom. The raising of the dead was the first fruits of the resurrection of Jesus, which was to come. There is a difference between special miracles and covenant miracles. Special miracles were performed as a sign in special circumstances, such as turning water to wine, walking on the sea, multiplying the loaves and fishes, opening the Red Sea, and raising the dead. Healing is a covenant miracle of the Old Testament, not a special miracle. God still does raise the dead, but this is determined by His sovereignty and is not a general part of our commission to heal. While we are on the subject of death, some skeptics claim that if divine healing always worked, no Christian would ever die. No such claim is made by scriptures. The Bible only provides divine health within the normal lifespan. Although the atonement of Christ purchased our eternal redemption from death, these mortal bodies will eventually die unless Jesus returns first and the rapture occurs. The same Bible which teaches healing also sets a limit on the length of man's life. The days of our years are 70 years and 10. Psalms 90, verse 10. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27. Tradition says, there was no competent medical help in the time of Jesus. Now that help is available, we are expected to use it instead of praying to God for healing. Our response: as early as 400 BC, there was a medical healing science. Hippocrates, 460 through 370 BC, the father of medicine, developed the science of medicine to a relatively high state. Some of his techniques are still used today. Greece, Egypt, and Rome had many competent practitioners in the time of Jesus. Divine healing has nothing to do with the competence or incompetence of medical science. It is a blessing provided in the atonement. Every good gift comes from God, so it is acceptable to use legitimate medical resources. Remember, however, that medicine is not a substitute for the covenant promise of healing. Despite the advances of medicine, there are still many incurable illnesses, so divine healing is still needed. Also, many people are beyond the reach of medical help. For example, in Africa, it has been estimated that some 80% of the people do not even have elementary medical care. Tradition says, divine healing is only taught by false cults. Our response: Wesley, Luther, and Zinzendorf, leaders of the Methodist, Lutheran, and Moravian churches, respectively, all taught divine healing. Those who teach it today, along with the saving power of the blood of Jesus and the deity of Christ, are no more unorthodox than these leaders. Some false cults do teach healing, but it is not true biblical healing. It is psychic or mind over matter healing from a source other than God. Satan is a deceiver and imitator. We do not eliminate divine healing just because he deceives and heals through evil powers. Satan deceives many into believing that by washing in the Ganges River in India, they will be cleansed of sin. Do we stop preaching salvation just because Satan imitates it? The fact that Satan would bother to imitate divine healing is another indication there is a true healing. Tradition says, divine healing puts more emphasis on the body than the soul. Our response: some in healing ministries have fallen into this pattern, but this is not the biblical pattern of healing. The biblical pattern deals with the whole man, body, soul, and spirit. Healing is not a gospel of itself. It is one aspect of the gospel of Christ. It should never be preached apart from atonement for salvation of the souls of sinful men and women. The church's concentration on the spirit and medicine's preoccupation with the body have both missed the whole person concept presented in the Bible. Tradition says, you are sick because you sinned. Our response: we have already covered this subject in the discussion on the source and reasons for sickness in chapter 16. While all sickness is in the world because of a sin, a person is not necessarily sick because of personal sin. Tradition says, it is God's will for you to be sick. It is for his glory. Our response: many do not question whether or not God is able to heal, but whether he is willing. The Bible indicates we are unwise if we do not understand God's will. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 17. Knowing God's will concerning sickness provides fertile ground on which faith can grow. The prayer of faith is the only prayer that is effective in obtaining healing. It cannot be prayed as long as we are wondering if it is God's will to heal. First, if you really believe it is God's will for you to be sick, then it is wrong to ask someone to pray for your healing. If sickness is of God, then doctors would be of the devil because they are trying to get rid of sickness. Hospitals would be in error because they are seeking to get rid of disease in rebellion against God's will. Every nurse would be defying God with each effort to relieve suffering. Those that believe sickness is a blessing should not accept medical treatment to get rid of their blessing, but should pray all their family and fellow church members would receive a similar blessing. Those who believe it is from God should not let the doctor operate and remove their blessing. If you really believe sickness is God's will for you as a believer, you should stop taking medicine and seeing doctors because you are fighting against the will of God. But we know that legitimate doctors, medicines, hospitals, and medical science are an extension of the goodness of God. Since sickness is of Satan, every legitimate manner of relieving suffering is of our Heavenly Father. By legitimate, we mean those methods that do not involve satanic methods or violate God's word. It is true that our bodies are bought with a price and we are to glorify God in them, whether we are sick or well. But in the biblical record, God was glorified when people were healed. If sickness glorifies God, then Christ robbed God of glory by healing the sick. If sickness glorifies God, we should all pray to be sick. God is not glorified by sickness in the body any more than by sickness of sin in the spirit. Sometimes God permits sickness to come on a believer, but always remember that Satan is the source. Job is an example of this. God does not will sickness on a believer. He has knowledge of the attack by Satan, and he uses all things, even bad, to work together for your good. This is why, even during sickness, you can be drawn closer to the Lord. God is always seeking to bring good out of evil. He used the effects of sin to remedy it by the death of Jesus. Paul first preached in Galatia because of a schedule change due to illness. Galatians chapter 4, verses 13 through 15. Trophimus's sickness kept him from going to Rome with Paul and suffering a similar fate. 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 20. Sickness was used to prevent sin in Genesis chapter 12 and chapter 20. Although these examples illustrate how God uses it, remember that he does not afflict willingly. Lamentations chapter 3, verse 33. God is not the source of sickness in a believer's life, but he takes something Satan intends for evil and works in you to accomplish spiritual victories as you undergo the attack. Sickness alone does not produce saints. It can produce bitter, complaining, unbelieving people. It is the Word that sanctifies and produces growth. John chapter 17, verse 17. While it is true that you often get into the Word more during a sickness, it is not necessary to have sickness in order to grow spiritually. It is helpful to remember this. The will of God for believers is Christ-likeness in character. Everything else, including sickness and health, derives its significance in relation to this divine goal. Romans chapter 8, verses 28 through 29. In the case of unbelievers, sickness results from sin and the inherent judgment of God that comes from sin. But even this can be used by God for good, for as healing and deliverance is ministered, salvation can result. God has given many promises in his word regarding healing and deliverance. Why would God give these in his word if it is his will for you to be sick? If a believer says, "I do not know if it is God's will to heal me," ask him, is it God's will to keep his promises? Jesus said, "If you have seen me, you have seen the Father." He said this because he did the work and the will of the Father. John chapter 14, verse 9. If you ever wonder whether or not God wants to heal, You have only to look at our Lord's actions. When you pray for healing, pray, "Thy will be done," or "according to thy will." Do not say, "If it be thy will," when you are praying for healing and deliverance. A sinner does not pray, "Lord, save me," if it is thy will. Healing is part of the atonement, just like salvation. "If" implies doubt that God wants to make us whole. "According to thy will" projects confident faith, while yet leaving the method, extent, and timing to him. Even in cases of sickness unto death, pray "according to thy will," not "if it is thy will," to heal. "According to thy will" leaves the time and conditions to God. He may choose the ultimate healing through death that rids a believer from the presence of sickness for all eternity. Jesus taught us to pray, "Thy will be done on earth, even as it is in heaven." There is no sickness and disease in heaven, so we can pray confidently against it on earth, knowing it is not his will. Jesus never prayed, "Heal if it is your will, God." The only time he prayed, "If it be thy will," was in relation to his own submission to the plan of God for his life, not healing. "If it be your will" destroys faith. When it was used by an outcast leper who did not know Christ's will in healing, Jesus corrected his uncertainty by assuring him, "I will." Never turn God's facts into hopes or questions. Act on them as realities and you will find them powerful. Just because someone is not healed immediately or because he dies from a sickness unto death does not mean it was not God's will to heal him. We view things in terms of time, while God views them in terms of eternity. You must remember that there are delayed healings. Sarah was not healed immediately of her barrenness. Job was not healed immediately. John the Baptist's father was not healed of his dumbness until a set time. Jesus prayed twice for one blind man, who received only partial healing the first time. Healings are sometimes delayed to bring greater glory to God. A good example of this is the story of the resurrection of Lazarus. Sicknesses unto death. Death is just an event within the realm of eternity in the life of a believer. Even a sickness unto death is swallowed up in victory because death to a believer is the ultimate healing. As we enter the presence of the King, we are made whole and no longer suffer from sin or sickness. In speaking of death, Paul says we are prepared for this purpose, to be absent from the body and present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 6 through 9. If you do not believe that healing is for all, then you must believe that healing is governed by direct revelation in each case as to whether or not it is God's will to heal. You are then relying on direct revelation to man rather than the written word of God. You will have no basis for faith until you receive a special revelation in each case that the sick one is among the favored ones to be healed.